2 Kings, we're chapter 5 again. A few more verses. Second Kings chapter 5, we looked at verse 1 last week. We're going to look at verses 1, 2 through 7. So I'll reread verse 1 and then we'll go to verse 7 and we'll stop there. This is Elisha, the 11th study in this lesson of Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 5, and let's start at verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because of him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And this little maid said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him," that is Naaman, "of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And Naaman departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man, this king, does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how this king of Syria seeks a quarrel against me." We're going to stop there. So we're going to see tonight our kind and benevolent God will work his sovereign will to his good pleasure. And oftentimes, it's against the grain, or against our grain, so to speak, or in a way that we would not even have thought of. God's providential dealings with his people. So we look at verse 1, and we talked about Naaman. He was great in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God, as all men are born in sin, he's a leper. Leper was we saw last week, was a perfect picture of sin. Man born in trespasses and sins. So as this leper was, as Naaman was, he being a leper, he's still in need of cleansing. He's still in need of healing, or spiritually, he's in need of saving. This is what this pictures. And yet life as we know it, verse 2, goes on. Yet nothing happens by chance or by luck, but according to the will and pleasure of our glorious God. Verse 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies. They went into the land of Israel, which Israel was under the dominion of the Syrians, but they would do what they wanted to. They went in there and basically took slaves, servants. They would go, I guess, house to house, and they found this little maid. We don't even know her name. And they brought her back to, coincidentally, Naaman's wife. So she's a servant. She was in her own land. The Syrians invade a Jewish town or a Jewish province. They took captive for servitude or slavery a Jewish girl, which is called here a little maiden. She's taken from her home, taken from her parents, from her homeland, and took her to wait on and serve Naaman's wife. Now, humanly speaking, this is horrible. This is wrong. This is evil. It's harsh. It's cruel, etc., etc. Humanly speaking, what they did, they went in, and took her, took her away from a life that she had known, a parents that took care of her, the security and comfort and safety, as a child would think. And they took her. And you're going to wait on Naaman's wife. But spiritually, or not even spiritually, but sovereignly, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Does not the scripture say that all things work together for good? Tell that to her parents. Tell that to her. Are not all of God's elect people under the care and concern of the Almighty God? Yes. Tell that to her parents. And tell this to the little girl. That's the first thought. God's providence and God's ways. All we can see, as one man said, is you look back and you see God's providence. Or if you want to know what God is doing, read the newspaper. Read whatever. But that's what God's doing. We don't see ahead. We don't prophesy. We don't look ahead. We just day by day, one step and one foot in front of the other. The second thought I see here is in verse 3. She's taken captive. She's waiting as a servant or a slave. And this little girl said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know how this little, Nathan and I were trying to discuss, we were discussing, we don't know how old she was, have no idea. Old enough to do servitude work, old enough to take, to do work in the house, clean or whatever she, whatever her mistress said to do, she would do, we know that. But I ask you a question, because I ask myself this question, does anger abound in this little girl towards her captive? I don't think so. I don't see it. I don't see it. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was taken at any age, if I'm staying at home and get taken, the last thing I'm going to do is do something that will be to my enemies, my foes, good. That's exactly what she did. She had compassion, concern, and thought towards her enemies that brought her out from safety and the security of her family and her homeland. So here's what I see and what I hope we all see. To be as this little grace teacher, this little maid, to be kind and have compassion even on our enemies. Secondly, to truly have a wonderful testimony of the grace of God in the soul. It's one thing to talk about grace, and it's another thing to have it and live it. And Melinda and I were talking about this very thing coming in. John Bunyan in prison. He wrote that great work, Pilgrim's Progress. As far as I know, he wasn't railing against the jailer. He wasn't railing against the government. He wasn't doing any of that. He was thrown in there falsely. You step back and say, well, that's wonderful, but look at our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything was set up against him, humanly. And yet he was led to the slaughter as a lamb. He didn't open his mouth. There's our example, to be like Christ. And this little maid is doing that. To have that testimony of the grace of God in the soul. And thirdly, to truly believe Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. To truly believe that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And to truly believe this. Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to look at several verses, just going to go through here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is exactly what she's doing. She doesn't know if she's going to be fed. She doesn't know what's going to happen. But she's forgiving those who sinned against her. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Verse 19, in the same chapter, Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Maybe she was storing up dolls or whatever as a young girl. Well, the next day they're gone. It's gone. She doesn't have that anymore. We are not to lay up, and this is being in this country. This is a tough one because we do. We got to have extra this, extra that, extra two or three or four, all these different things, extra, extra, extra. Don't lay up for yourselves treasure upon earth, because it's gonna be gone. It's gonna be gone. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Something happens, get upset, or we could be kind. We could show kindness, because we were been shown kindness through the grace of God. And I tell you, the older I get, it seems like it gets more difficult. It's just so easy to complain. It's easy to fight stuff, this and that. I hear Christ speaking to Paul. He speaks to me. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? Submit. Submit to the glory of God. I'm for you. I'm not against you. But we have to constantly be reminded of that. Look at verses 25 through 34. Therefore Christ says unto you and to me, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Oh, that's good. Now, oh, but there's one more phrase. Are you not much better, or more in his eyes, if he sent his Son to die for us, to bleed, to suffer, die, are you not more, much better than they? Well, we need to be frugal. Yes, we need to be good stewards. Yes, but above all that, we use these things as excuses. Are we not much better than they? Don't take any thought for our life. Verse 26, or verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubic to a statue? One thought. Can anyone? No, they can't do it. We can't do it. We can't change the color of our skin. We can't do this. We can't do that. Why? Verse 28, take you thought for raiment. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Here's our problem. Oh, ye of little faith. But here's this little maid, this little grace teacher. Oh, how we could learn from her. She's taken away from everything she knows. And she says, oh, I wish my master knew about the prophet. The scriptures is plain about us telling people, he says, if we withhold our gospel, that, you know, it's not woe unto us if we do so. We are not to withhold the gospel. He continues on. Therefore, don't take any thought what you eat, what you'll drink, or what you're going to wear, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, to the Jew, this was a pretty good rebuke. This is, you're walking by sight and not by faith. Walking by fear and not by faith. And I was looking at this down at my mom's. Whatsoever is not of faith, this is broad, but this hits every one of us. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we got a lot of problems. Thanks be to God, he's given us the grace of faith. that when we start acting like this, and we'll see this very action in this little section, we realize, no, God's on the throne. God's sovereign. God's in control. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We don't know if we got tomorrow. We don't know if we've got tomorrow. So we are to act in faith today. So, fourthly, to truly live up to our possession, not merely a profession. It's easy to say, I'll trust Christ when the sun's out. And let's do like this little teacher did, to point any man, even enemies, any woman, this mistress, or the Naaman's wife, any boy or girl that maybe was also in the household, let us do what she did. Look back with me at our text. Would to God my Lord were with the prophet. Point everyone we know to our Elijah. And that is simply, we talked about what that name means, the salvation of God, or the God of supplication. Show them, point them to Christ. That's what she's doing. This is what we are here for, to act and react and live as our sister here, to tell sinners, lepers, of Christ and Him crucified. The third point. This is us. This is human nature. So she tells them to go talk to the prophet. And here's what somebody that doesn't understand the gospel, this is what they do. So one went in, you know, it's kind of like a rumor. You know, it gets spun out and everything. She said one thing, go to the prophet. What did they do? They knew better. We know better. They told the Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Assyria, he tells Naaman, verse 5, to go to the king of Israel. He's going to bring him a letter. And when you go, bring silver, gold, and raiment. Verses 4 and 5. The message never changes. It's see the prophet. See the prophet. Our problem is, the maiden told to go see the prophet. God's man towards man. Not a king. She didn't say, go see the king of Israel. She didn't say, take any money with you or change of clothes. But that's what we do. Christ alone is never sufficient to the unbelievers. Never sufficient. We have our idea. Do we think we have a better way of salvation than the strict good news of the gospel? Absolutely not. Do we also bring carrying gifts, money, silver, gold, change of raiment? That's what we do, but we shouldn't do that. Our message is very narrow. It's one person, one way, one birth, one Lord, one salvation, and it's to be had without money or price, says Isaiah, or silver or gold, which is what Peter says. We were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 8. Let's start in verse 18. In Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. I say to the Catholics, they thought it could be purchased with penance. I say to the Baptists, they thought it could be purchased by walking an aisle. In any other religion of Cain, the grace of God is free for the lepers. And he'll show us that we're a leper, which we're going to see weeks down the road. The last point, the fourth point. Look at verses 6 and 7. Now this is how, this is not the right way to act, okay? Verses 6 and 7. And Naaman brought the letter, or one of his servants brought the letter to the king of Israel, and so he reads the letter, and he says, I'm supposed to recover from leprosy. That's not what the message is. The message is only one, Christ and Him crucified. And it came to pass, verse 7, that when the king of Israel read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends me unto recover a man of his leprosy? I think he's trying to seek a quarrel with me. This is the flesh. We often act like this king. He didn't go to God in prayer. He never went to God in prayer. He made everything about himself. Isn't that what we do? Yeah, but I. No. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are to care for one another and look out from ourselves. Not things of everyone else, and the Lord will take care of us. I read somewhere, you can't outgive God. You just can't do it. You can't do it. And you'll never be the poor for doing it. And thirdly, he thought everything was against him. And isn't that what we do? When something goes bad, oh, everything's against me. It's against what we wanted to be done. If I would have just done this, let us not react to trials and hardships or tests like this poor king. But rather, let us act this way. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Anytime we go to the flesh, it's going to end up like this king. We're going to be upset. We're going to bypass the means of grace. We're going to try to solve everything ourselves. We're going to make it about ourselves. We're going to say everything's against us. But may we pray for one another to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, when this got brought to the king, he didn't retreat. He didn't go get alone with God. He just automatically assumed there was a conspiracy against him. Again, who holds the hands of every being, every human being? Like he says in Proverbs, God has the king's heart in his hand, and God turns that wherever, however he wants to. However he wants to. Let us not be like this king. Let us not complain. Yet rather, may we see our great God in everything and give thanks and praise, knowing that He will take care of us in every situation and circumstance which He's promised. And if He doesn't, whether we see it immediately or not, they can only kill the body. Like one of the old writers used to say, if He takes the body, we're ushered to glory. We're ushered to glory. So may we act like this little maid and not like this king, who was acting more mature in faith. There's no age involved. Faith is faith. Grace is grace. May we act as this little girl, and we'll see that the Lord uses her to get this whole thing moving. Humanly, a horrible tragedy. With any family, any parent would see that. But God overrides it. And it goes to show me another thing, that everything in this Bible is about saving and redeeming His elect. And so you want to know why you're here. You know, yes, you can have a job and you do this and do that, but God is going to fetch every one of His elect, and then He's going to shut it down. He's going to shut this whole thing down. And man isn't going to, it's not going to be like man did it. It's going to be that God shuts it down. So we are just to go forth, just spreading His word, telling about the God of salvation. And will God will be glorified. And that's what He desires. And He's going to use His people for His glory, whether we see it now or not. And it's tough to see. And I admit, as first off, more than anybody, this grace of God is difficult to see. It's difficult to live. It's difficult to practice. But if God be for us, and greater is He that is in us than He is in the world, let us just look to Him and ask Him for grace. Bruce, would you close us?